This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story.
Chapter 16. Catriona shed her lies like scales of armour. She was raised close to the small town of Plopton on the northwest coast of Scotland, not Dumfries. She was an only child, her parents, as far as she knew, happy. Catriona attended a small school where everyone knew everyone else. She lived on the far side of Loch Carradale, where her father operated a small salmon farm. They were not wealthy. The man refused to use the hormones that made his competitors' fish grow at 5 times their normal rate. But at last he found a niche in the health-conscious public who could afford the higher prices he had to charge. Tom somehow knew this. As Catriona talked over the sound of the happy stream, the words she used took shape and colour in his mind. Red for a lie and green for truth. Even as he looked into her eyes, a hazy, half-thought saw the words beauty and danger flit the air between them like wind-blown leaves of emerald. And so Tom learned that Callum had struggled for 10 years to make his business work. And finally they were settled, their struggles behind them. Catriona's father took her across the loch each morning to meet the school bus and collected her in the evening. She would often help with some of the chores like pouring feed or cleaning equipment. At weekends she would have her friends to stay or overnight with them in Plopton. They were happy. Everyone was happy. Or so Catriona thought. Her mother, Sophia, kept her dissatisfaction quiet until one sunny day she announced that she'd met someone else and was leaving home. The change in her father was dramatic. A giant of a man, the girl had only seen his strength, but as the court first took his home and then his farm and finally his daughter from him, he crumbled to a dishevelled wreck she barely recognised. As the pair sat by the stream, green leaves swirled in non-existent gusts around the girl. But she didn't seem to notice them, and to Tom, they were no more than passing trees on a journey through a forest, in front of his eyes but buried in his mind. He flicked at them with an automatic hand as though buzzed by a half-noticed fly. Catriona had moved to Edinburgh with her mother to live with her new boyfriend. The man's name was Victor, a Croatian-born restaurateur. How he met her mother when they occupied such different worlds, Catriona didn't know. He was charming and good to Catriona, but the girl could not settle in Edinburgh. She missed her friends, she missed her freedom, but most of all, she missed her father. Forced to sell the farm, the man moved to the city to be near his daughter, but things were never the same. He would take her to the park or walk around the castle, but gone was the gruff, fun-loving man filled with purpose and life, stolen by a shell that laughed only to sound normal in front of his daughter. A year after the split, Catriona's mother took her on holiday to Victor's hometown in Zagreb. It was beautiful, but Catriona was unaware of the real purpose behind the visit. She met his family and, despite the upset, loved the country and its people. It was 2 months after they got back, as spring flowers bloomed in Princess Street Gardens, that her mother told her they were moving to Croatia. "I cried forever. My father shouted at my mother, at Victor. And finally, 2 days before we were due to leave, we ran away. Dad tried to get the court to stop the move, but Mom had custody. She could live wherever she liked." According to Catriona, Sophia had told her daughter that she would still see her father during the holidays. He would still be a part of her life. But Catriona recalled the same words when they moved to Edinburgh. It was a lie, and their daughter knew it. At first they slept in the car, burying themselves in quiet country roads, often in forests, sometimes by a loch. They ate chocolate and drank pop. Eventually they dumped the car when the media took up the story. A nationwide hunt tracked what they called a dangerous and unstable absent father. According to the headlines, he'd kidnapped the carefree youngster. The distraught mother was leaving the country to escape his irrational behaviour. She was frightened for her own safety, they had said. but more so for that of her daughter. The pair took a train to Ardrossan and crossed in a crowded boat full of tourists to the island of Arran. Her father remembered the seldom used cottage from their island treks. They walked in overnight, found Creggan empty, and broke a window latch in the back. That was 2 weeks ago. They felt safe. Her father borrowed the boat, which had been turned upside down on the ramp. He found the engine in the outhouse and left Catriana as he gathered supplies from Lochranza. "We knew it couldn't last forever," she said, and her words faded to wisps of air. "But when you arrived, it changed everything." Tom didn't know what to say. Perhaps he should have felt guilty, but he didn't. He had no family that he could remember, and was actually jealous of the girl with two parents arguing over who should live with her. He remembered through the delirium of his arrival the reaction of her father, and he now understood what a shock it must have been to him. Reports of a man and a girl in a remote cottage rescuing a boy would be a catastrophe, but still they couldn't turn him away either. "That's why he risked the storm," Tom said. "He tried to convince me he was on his own when it was obvious he wasn't." But although Tom now understood and sympathised with her plight, he could not just leave them without asking for help at the village. A doctor would surely lead to the police, and try as he might, the boy could not figure a way around the dilemma. Unless the man's condition improved over the next few hours, he would ignore both their calls for silence. He'd walk over the hill and bring help whether they wanted him to or not. Tom bit the urge to tell her this. He looked up the hill and picked out the path, cutting up and right across its belly like a drunken surgeon's scar. It was getting late. Starting now would be an unnecessary risk. He would give them night, and in the morning, if Callum was no better, he would walk out and bring them a doctor, and to hell with the consequences.
DreamWorks.com.